Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our time displacement orb. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
To our double Terminator episode, Terminator 4 Salvation and Terminator, which is not Terminator, it's just Terminator Salvation.
No, we just call it T4.
I can do that. T4 and then T5 Genesis.
Terminator Genesis.
So we're going to talk about these movies. As a lot of you know, Salvation has little to no time travel discussion. It will make it a time travel discussion because it connects to these other time travel movies. And then we will get totally lost and tied in a knot and effed in the head with Genesis.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to have Genesis running in the background for notes.
To remember all of the crazy holes. I was saying to myself as I was watching the T5 that this might be the movie with the most holes I've ever seen so far. We'll get into it.
We will. And I mean, the movie itself, obviously, I don't think has that many holes. I think it just paves over so much that we already take for granted.
Yeah.
That it creates holes. But again, we will get into that. So let's start with Terminator Salvation, released May 21st, 2009, 115 minutes, PG-13, directed by Mick G.
Oh boy.
The world famous MTV director.
Music videos.
He did lots of Korn videos, lots of Cypress Hill videos, and then he went right on to Charlie's Angels after that, so that makes perfect sense. That was a dizzying amount of edits, just like a music video. This had the same writers as T3, which I didn't feel that connection at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting. Starring Christian Bale, he is JC from American Psycho. Sam Worthington playing Marcus Wright. Helena Bonham Carter as Dr. Serena Kogan. Anton Yelchin is our new Kyle Reese. And Jada Grace is our star, our little mute star. Bryce Dallas Howard, I think she makes a great Kate Brewster. She was the new, our new, what's her name? Who played Kate in T3? Oh, I got my, you know what? This is why I did this.
Oh, you mean the wife?
Yes.
What's her name? From Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly.
Names, people. Names are important. I can see her face, but I cannot tell you her name.
Claire Danes.
Thank you.
Jeez. I got papers all over here. I look like I'm trying to solve a murder right now. Anyways, I thought she was a great, they're obviously not twins, but they obviously tried to keep some kind of continuity between that.
Yeah, the hair color maybe.
Yeah, I guess it's just two redheads. I'm being a jerk. Danny Elfman did the music. Again, something I didn't really feel. You know, usually when he scores a movie, you know for sure it's a Danny Elfman. The Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it a 33, audience gave it a 54.
Interesting.
So no one loved this movie. The audience, you know, enjoyed the ride a little bit. So that's it. And we're into the movie, and we start in 2003. How do we start, Ari?
2003. I honestly watched this movie 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I about to say maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This one 2 weeks ago. Oh, no, this one 3 weeks
ago.
3 weeks ago,
yeah. So this one takes place in the bombs have already gone off. Everyone has existed in this post-apocalyptic world for a while now. And please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't take notes on this one.
All right. No time travel, no notes.
Exactly.
That's Ari's motto.
Yeah, pretty much. So the things you need to know most about this movie, I'm sure you all have seen it. Maybe you haven't because it's not that good. So in the very beginning, there's a gentleman who has been convicted of murder, and his name is
Marcus Wright.
Marcus Wright. And he's in jail and he's been convicted of killing something to do with his brother.
I don't even remember that. I don't remember what he was convicted of.
Murder. It was murder.
He was definitely going to be, he was on death row, so.
Yeah. And he's in a jail cell and a woman comes to visit him and she says something about...
You guys out there know her as Bellatrix Lestrange from Harry Potterverse.
Yes, or the Fight Club.
That's right.
She's...
Yes.
She basically says you need to donate yourself to science.
Or please donate yourself to science, because she makes a great argument.
Yeah, but she's also, like, sick. She looks like she has cancer, and I think he even mentions that this lady has cancer that has visited him, and she's got the scarf around the head, and...
Well, he kisses her,
and then he kisses her really... Says, that's what death tastes like. Which was like, why? Okay. And she talks about how you're really going to help the future and, you know, this is going to do great things and you should really donate yourself because he's about to be put to death anyway. So he signs the paper. He signs, I guess, his body or his life away or whatever you want to call it. And then they strap him to a table and they put needles in his arms and he dies.
Opening credits.
Opening credits. Dun, 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 dun. And you had a theory about the doctor?
I think she's a time traveler.
Why, though?
Just because it's Terminator and we see her later. Later, Skynet uses her just as a...
She's a VR image.
Yeah, as more of a touchstone, just to make him comfortable.
Yeah.
But that still leads me to believe that... Let's just jump into it. Since we're not going to talk about a lot of time travel in this movie, this was supposed to be the first movie of a trilogy. And so I don't believe they were going to make three non-time-traveling movies.
Yeah.
I don't think that was going to be possible.
Because time travel is a huge part of Terminator in general.
Yeah. So I think they just wanted to have some fun, kind of set up a story, some action movies, not tie our brain in too many knots, and then come back in 2 and 3 and maybe explain with some time travel how we got to this point. That's my theory.
Okay.
So not time traveling, but now we come out of the credits. We're in 2018.
Yep. In the post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Bombs have gone off. John Carter is...
Connor.
Did I say Carter?
It's JC. Either way, he's Jesus. We should just call him Jesus Christ. That's the whole point.
Who did you just... Someone just had a name. Oh, Carter. Helena Minimino Carter.
Oh, yeah.
That's...
Helena Bonham Connor.
Yeah. Carter? Connor?
She's Carter.
Okay, now I'm getting confused.
I did not do you any favors.
John Connor is running the show militarily-wise, but there is also another, like... branch of the military. I think they're in like a submarine and
he's still an outpost. He's at this point there seems to be an actual military still going on.
Yeah.
And he's still more of a rebel.
But he's running like was it the LA or near LA branch of it almost.
Yeah.
He's in charge of a lot of people and a lot of planes and equipment and things like that.
He's answering to someone, but he's
got a lot of
he's
stuff.
He's built up quite a following.
Yeah. And of course they're fighting all the machines and the machines have all the big planes and the big robots and they're collecting people.
So it opens up with John Connor making a raid on a Terminator base and everyone dies. The Terminators end up attacking it and everyone dies, I think, except John Connor in this raid. And then this military base is destroyed. John Connor gets away, but then Marcus Wright crawls out of the rubble. So in this Terminator base so we open up with John Connor going down to check out what ends up being a Terminator base. And he sees a bunch of guys, mostly dead, connected to all these tubes and they're experimenting on them and whatnot. So we see Marcus Wright. This base gets destroyed. There should be nothing left. But then Marcus Wright crawls his way out of it. Then it just turns into three people get lost in three different places. And we follow John Connor. We follow Kyle Reese. And we follow Marcus Wright.
Yeah. So in the timeline of it, for this story, John Connor does not know Kyle Reese yet. And Kyle Reese is about, what is he like?
I think he's 18.
18, we'll say. Yeah. So Kyle Reese is 18 and he's in LA and has never met John Connor. He's only heard his voice on the radio. I guess John Connor makes these radio announcements to like keep people's spirits up. And so he's heard of his voice, but they've never met. And Kyle Reese has this little sidekick girl named Star who doesn't talk. She's super cute. And he's just in LA fighting robots and surviving. And then eventually John Connor and Kyle Reese meet, or he saves him. Doesn't he go out there? Like he hears he's out there?
Marcus Wright comes in contact with Kyle Reese first, and then Kyle Reese gets taken away by the Terminators. The Terminators are collecting people, which from all my research was for destruction. So I don't know why the Terminators are making a show.
Collecting people to kill them?
Yeah. It didn't seem like they were going to use them in any factories, which is strange if that's your ultimate goal and you're a Terminator, that you're not just destroying on site. But it makes for a more exciting story.
Yeah.
So they're collecting people. And then so when Marcus Wright and John Connor come in contact, Marcus Wright drops the name Kyle Reese. And as we know, so for those of you who are trying desperately to follow this, Kyle Reese is the first human that gets sent back in Terminator 1.
Right. He's also John Connor's father. And in this story and in most of the timelines, John Connor knows who his father is because his mother, Sarah Connor, has always told him who his father is. Because in the original movie, in most of the movies, John Connor is the one who sends Kyle Reese back in time to save his mother.
And father him.
Right.
That's hot. So Marcus Wright runs into a woman of the resistance and they're making their way back to John Connor. And when they're trying to get to John Connor's base, a couple of mines stick to Marcus Wright and these mines are magnetic. So this is when we officially learn that Marcus Wright is made of metal. Dun, 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 dun. So John Connor has an immediate distrust for him, as you can imagine, and is basically ties him up to be tortured for information to find out what he knows. This by this point, this guy has saved the woman several times. So she, in return, saves Marcus Wright. They get away from the base.
Well, and Marcus is convinced he's human, and he is confused. When he looks down at his metal body, he is very confused. And, you know, he says, I'm from whatever year it was when the movie opened. And, you know, I'm human. I don't understand what's going on. I think maybe eventually he puts two and two together about when he signed his life away before he was killed.
Yeah, probably not till the end. Probably not. So they are the big culmination of this movie is that they have intercepted a signal. I forget where the signal comes from, but they find this signal that when transmitted renders the Terminators useless.
All the machines.
Everything.
Useless. Their planes, their drones, everything. It just turns them off.
So this is their secret weapon. They're going to get to the base. They're going to blast this tone and they're going to win everything. But now we know that Kyle Reese is there. So John Connor is trying to put the brakes on this attack until he can get Kyle Reese and a lot of other people out of there, but mostly his father. The military is going fully forward. Like, we finally have an in. We're doing this.
We're going to blow up just this entire building. It's like all of San Francisco.
Gets on his radio and says, please, please, please don't attack them. There's human lives at stake. We can save these people. Don't worry. We'll take care of this in due time. Because the military is counting on these separate factions to help them out. The military doesn't have the manpower. They have the authority, they think, but they don't have the manpower. So they're using all these little rebellions. So John Connor begs these rebellions not to attack. They listen. And so they go into this Terminator base to get all these people out.
Marcus is in there too, trying to help him out. At one point, John Connor and Marcus, you know, face off, and John Connor lets him go because he believes that he trusts his gut and believes that he's good, and so he lets him go. And so Marcus is also attempting to save Kyle Reese and the little girl, so he's there too.
So yeah, so when they're in there, now that Marcus Wright is basically inside Skynet, they use this opportunity to tell him that, by the way, you're a Terminator and we have manipulated you. You're a new Terminator. I forget what his T whatever.
What his number was.
But yeah, so they're trying a new Terminator, and this way they're utilizing and leaving enough of his humanity alive so that he thinks he's human, and then his processes can run in the background, which are to kill John Connor without his knowledge. So Skynet reveals this to him using the face
of that doctor.
Of the doctor of Helena Bonham Carter. Again, I think she's from this time.
I mean, they even said that, you know, we're using this face because we know that it's the face that you most trust,
yeah,
or recognize, and then it switches to another face. Like, it's like a projected image.
Also around this time, it's revealed that the signal was actually planted by the Terminators to fool the Resistance into thinking they had an upper hand, knowing they would use it to attack the base, and then the Terminators would have them right where they want them.
Right, because then the Terminators, or whatever you want to call it, the AI, or it's Skynet at this point. Is it Skynet, or is it
Skynet?
It's Skynet at this point, because then they blow up the submarine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they gave them false hope with this sound that they thought they could use, and then they figured out where the submarine is, and they blew up the submarine.
And the submarine has the last official military personnel in it, it appears. So that pretty much leaves John Connor
in charge.
In charge after that. Marcus Wright rips his operating system out of his neck, so now he is, for all intents and purposes, human, at least by brain.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of metal parts.
Yeah, as he goes against his programming that Skynet put in him and rips it out, and then goes after to save Kyle and the little girl and help John.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused what happens now, but a big fight breaks out. The Resistance, they don't defeat the Terminators, but they win the battle. I think they just get out.
Well, there's a scene where there's like a door that opens, and you see all these like hanging legs, and they activate an Arnold Schwarzenegger. I guess it would be like the first one. He's got the skin and stuff, and he's naked, and he goes and has a fight with John Connor.
So in the original Terminator, in 1, 2, and well, at least 1 and 2, the Arnold version is manufactured in what, 2029, something like that. But do you think that in this timeline it's been sped up somehow? Do you think in the original Terminator that Arnold's were coming off the assembly line in 2018?
I don't know the numbers, but I get the sense that, you know, with the Marcus, Marcus was one of a kind. They said that. They're like, okay, nothing has worked so far. Let's try this human who is a human. We'll make him a robot. We'll have a chip in his head, and maybe he can infiltrate John. And he did, and it worked so far. But then they also are making these all-skin robots, and the only reason you would need an all-skin robot is because they know to send something back in time, it has to be wrapped in skin. And they open this door, and in this room were a bunch of Arnolds, and they activated one of them to go after John in that one fight scene.
That's right. I always forget that Arnold is a one-of-a-kind, just to have the
skin.
The skin, yeah.
He was purposely made to have the skin, but in the room, it looked like you can't really see. You just see a bunch of feet hanging, like they're all on hooks or something. Whether they're different and Arnold is the only one, or there's a bunch of Arnolds.
But they're definitely all skinned. Like, they all have feet on
them. They all have
them.
Feet, exactly. So in that moment could have been the first time in this timeline that Arnold was activated.
In this timeline.
Because this is supposed to be the same timeline as T1 and T2. It's like a prequel.
Well, I think I get the sense watching all these movies that they keep Skynet keeps speeding up the timeline.
Okay.
Like, we'll get to it more in Genesis, but like in Genesis, they send that John Connor back with the information to speed up Skynet.
Speed up Skynet or speed up the timeline?
Well, they're one and the same.
Yeah.
If you speed up Skynet, you get to Terminators faster.
Yeah.
You can get to the Resistance before John Connor's mom warned him it would. If John Connor's thinking the whole time, okay, in 2020, shit goes down.
Yeah.
But then they speed it up and they're ready to go at 2015. He's not prepared.
So there's a fight between John Connor and the Arnold Terminator. John gets really hurt. John gets like a metal rod through his torso. And, you know, they get out, they win, they beat him. But he's really hurt and he's on a table dying. And the Marcus guy apparently still has a human heart.
Yeah.
So he has, I guess, the same brain, but with a chip in it. But his body is all metal, but he still has the same heart.
They must have needed, I guess it makes sense if you're going to keep his brain intact, that he would need
a human heart. And blood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, take my heart.
Fulfilling his, that's why he allowed the doctor to take him in the first place, was to help mankind.
Yeah.
So he gets to fulfill his dreams.
One really important thing that I think the most important thing about this whole movie is that in the fight, John Connor with the Arnold Schwarzenegger, he gets scratched on his face. So it's a very specific scratch. In this timeline, he gets like a very deep scratch that's going to leave a scar across his face in the fight with this Terminator, because that comes into play.
Well, and that's in all of them. That's in every movie. Even when we see John Connor in T1 for a brief second, he's got those scars.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, where in T1 do we see John Connor?
We see a lot more of the future than I remember in Terminator 1, and they keep jumping.
When do we see John Connor in T1?
It's not much. It's just like a crane shot zooming in on a battle, and he turns around from the shadows just to kind of wink at the camera. And I forget who plays him.
And he's got a scar?
He's got a scar. He's got the scar.
Interesting. So they wanted to bring that back.
Yes.
I do not remember that.
So in every iteration, I'm going to be posting some things to social media. I may have already... Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, I have a montage of all the John Connors. And I think every one of them, except for Edward Furlong, because he's so young, has a version of those scars.
Interesting. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
So they wanted to keep that consistent for some reason.
So John Connor lives, Marcus Wright dies, his father's still okay. Kate Brewster's pregnant? Is she pregnant in this one?
Yeah.
So she's pregnant with somebody, which is strange that we never really hear about that. But again, this is supposed to be the first of a trilogy.
And it never happened.
That's a whole thing.
So do you think because the movie did so bad, they pulled funding and were like, nope, it ends here?
This movie didn't do that bad, monetarily wise. I think it was more... Oh, no, was it this one? Yeah, I can't remember if it was this one or Genesis Now, but one of them did not well here. And then once the overseas failed, that's when they pulled the plug. I think China could have saved this trilogy, but they didn't go see it either. And then there was a ton of this property got sold back and forth, and it kept on getting attached to failing production companies. And I think they, like one company, again, I'm getting these two movies confused. I apologize, people. Can't remember if it was the company that did Salvation or Genesis. They basically bought this to save their company. Like this was, they used everything they had to get this and were banking on the movie to save them, and it didn't. And so these movies kept getting bounced around. So it's tough to say, because again, they were so planned. Both of these movies, I feel, were so obviously first movies. You know, the first trilogy, Terminator 1, was supposed to be a single movie, so it's amazing. And then the fact that they made a second one was a surprise to everyone too, so they just blew the doors off. And then Terminator 3 was made because everything was a trilogy. And if you don't have three movies, you don't have any. So when they finally got a chance to do this again, it was like trilogy or bust. And so I think that's the biggest problem with these movies, is that they were banking on 9 hours to tell their story, and they only got 2.5. But yeah, it was definitely a combination of a lot of things that brought both of these movies down. But I think we're going to jump out of Salvation. We'll probably end up coming back to this during our larger timeline discussion. And so yeah, so this movie fails. Now, or I honestly don't think it failed, but...
Meaning you liked the movie?
I thought it was fine. And again, under the guise that this was going to be one of three, I think it could have sat just fine in a trilogy. I think it could have been easily saved.
I would have liked it better if they had cast a different lead, personally. I am not a fan of Christian Bale.
Really?
No.
Like, at all?
Like, at all. His lisp, his speech impediment makes my ears hurt.
Really? Oh, that's funny. So can you not watch the Batmans even?
Ugh, I love that movie because it's Batman and because it's a good movie, but I just make fun of him. That's what I get to do.
Do you like...
I'm Batman.
Do you like American Psycho just because he's such an asshole? He plays such a perfect... Okay, it just, you hate him so much he can't even play a bad guy.
I recognize and I commit that he did well in that movie, and that's it. That's just me, not a fan.
Okay, so this movie fails. They sell the property to someone else, and they start working on it. I think they're hoping that, I think they tried to get, what's his name? James Cameron, but he just wasn't really interested again. So, okay, so again, we're at T5, beginning of a trilogy. Salvation was, for all intents and purposes, a failure, and there was no time travel in it. So how do you fix a Terminator series?
What do we want?
Time travel.
And when do we want it?
It's irrelevant.
What do we want?
Time travel.
And when do we want it?
It's irrelevant.
More time travel. travel.
The most time travel.
How much time travel can we pack in here? So, Terminator Genesis, released July 1st, 2015, 126 minutes, PG-13, directed by Alan Taylor, who directed Thor: The Dark World, and one Lost episode. He directed Everyone Hates Hugo for Lost. Written by Lita Kalogridis, who wrote Shutter Island, and Alita Battle Angel, which is a very weird movie that I saw in the theater because I just wanted to get indoors, and it was starting within 10 minutes that I got there, and I saw it in the theater, and it was a lot of fun. It was a weird movie. One of those, the main character is animated, but they did a good job. The Uncanny Valley is getting a little more shallow, and that movie proved it very well. Starring, back again, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jason Clark is our new John Connor. Amelia Clark is our new Sarah Connor. Jai Courtney is our new Kyle Reese. J.K. Simmons is O'Brien, our awesome, he's our detective. And Deo Okunie is our Danny Dyson. The Rotten Tomatoes critics 26, audience 53, very similar to T4. Oh, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I have this at the top as my fun facts. Do you know where Skynet was, what they used for Skynet?
Like what building?
Yeah.
No, but I know that they were located across the Bay Bridge and south a little bit.
Yes. I thought, when remembering this from the theater, I thought they had put it in Oakland. I thought it was across, like following the Bay Bridge over to Oakland and then down where the Imperial Walkers are. But no, it's where you were saying, it's Oracle headquarters. And it's as is. It's exactly, I didn't realize, I looked at some Google Maps and that's Oracle headquarters.
The building that they use, is that's what it looks like?
Yeah. With the water out front and everything. Like, we could go take pictures in front of this, which we might have to do. But what I wanted to ask, to your knowledge, have you ever done an event at Oracle?
Not in a building that looks like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a big campus, so it'd be easy to be on the backside and go into it.
No.
Ari and I are known to do corporate team building events. So a lot of times we go to these large corporations and we play games with them. And we've definitely been right there. We've been a spitting distance from where Skynet is.
We've definitely worked with Oracle, but probably not on their campus.
Yeah. We might have to wander down there and get some pictures. That might be fun.
It was a cool looking building.
Like, yeah.
The angle, they're like circles with the roof on an angle. Very futuristic.
Very. Yeah. And it was brand new when they filmed it too. Like, I don't even know if they had people in it yet. Those are our facts. Take a deep breath, people.
Yeah.
Press play. We're going to have this run in the background because we're going to need all...
So I'm wondering if we should do an overview and then talk about it, or just talk about it as we're going along the story.
How about...
Because the overview
this,
is...
this is really long.
The overview would be so complicated and so intricate and take up so much time.
Let me read this.
Okay.
I'm just going to read this straight off Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it's going to be long.
Okay.
But I'll do some editing afterwards to make it a little bit tight. But just to have as much as I can to work with, I'm going to read. So this is right off Wikipedia, so we can just get the facts out and not get too off track, which is awesome getting off track, but we're going to try to give you guys an anchor out there to hold on to. The plot, Terminator Genesis.
But one thing we know for sure, the future is not set.
In 2029, human resistance leader John Connor launches a final offensive against Skynet. Before the resistance can triumph, Skynet activates a time machine and sends a T-800 back to May 12, 1984 to kill John's mother, Sarah. Kyle Reese volunteers to travel back in time to protect her. As Kyle Reese floats in the machine's magnetic field, he sees John being attacked by another resistance soldier and has visions from his childhood about Sarah Connor. When it arrives in Los Angeles, 1984, Skynet's T-800 is disabled by Sarah and Pops, a reprogrammed T-800 sent to protect Sarah when she was 9 years old. Kyle arrives shortly afterward and is intercepted by a T-1000. Sarah and Pops join Kyle and destroy the T-1000 with acid. She and Pops reveal that they have constructed a makeshift time machine similar to Skynet's, and Sarah plans to travel to 1997, the year Skynet becomes self-aware. Realizing that the timeline has been altered, Kyle is convinced that the future has changed because of the warning he received in his childhood vision and persuades Sarah to travel to 2001. 2017 to stop Skynet. In 2017, Kyle and Sarah materialize in the middle of a busy San Francisco highway and are apprehended by city police. While they are treated for injuries, Sarah and Kyle learn that Skynet is called Genesis, a soon-to-be-unveiled global operating system which is embraced by the public. John suddenly appears and rescues Sarah and Kyle. Pops arrives and unexpectedly shoots John, revealing that John is an advanced T-3000 Terminator. While Kyle was traveling back in time, a T-5000, the physical embodiment of Skynet, disguised as a member of the Resistance, attacked John and transformed him into a nanosite infiltrator. John, tasked with ensuring Cyberdyne system survival, traveled back in time to assist them with the development of Genesis and hence securing Skynet and its machines' rise. A day before Skynet's worldwide attack, Sarah, Kyle, and Pops escape to a safe house and make final preparations to destroy Cyberdyne's Genesis mainframe. They head towards Cyberdyne's headquarters with a T-3000 in close pursuit. The T-3000 enters the Cyberdyne complex where it advances the countdown from 13 hours to 15 minutes. Kyle, Sarah, and Pops plant bombs at key points in the facility while holding off the T-3000. In a final battle, Pops traps the T-3000 in the magnetic field of a prototypical time machine. Both are destroyed, but just before the explosion, the remains of Pops are flung out of the apparatus into the nearby experimental vat of memetic polyalloy. Kyle and Sarah reach a bunker beneath the facility, and the explosion sets off the bombs, preventing Genesis from coming online. Pops appears upgraded with a memetic polyalloy component similar to that of the T-1000 and helps them escape from the debris. The TO travels to Kyle's childhood home, where Kyle tells his younger self about Genesis and instructs him to repeat the warning to himself, securing the trio's arrival from 1984. Sarah and Kyle finally kiss, and they, along with Pops, drive off into the countryside. A mid-credit scene reveals that the system core of Genesis, located in a protected subterranean chamber, has survived the explosion.
Wait, what? I didn't see the mid-credit scene.
I barely did. I remember seeing that something was going on, but I was exhausted by that. It was basically just, it just wasn't a surprise. You know, it was like any horror film where a hand comes out of the ground.
So, but what they're saying that they didn't end up killing Genesis?
Yes.
And so it survived. Okay.
Yes. So there's the basics. We're going to kind of jump back into it. So Pops goes to 1974.
Well, okay, so do you want to, like, go through the holes of it? How do you, just the time travel of it? What do you want to...
You know what, let's just get into some time travel.
Okay.
Let's just, I was kind of, yeah, going back to a mini synopsis to get into the time travel, just to go through this in order a little bit.
Yeah, we can go the time travel in order.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to start with that, because Pop's going back to 1973 immediately screws up the original Terminator.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, for the movie, like, because we've got the movie playing right now, and it's really good. They did a good job of which is also a very confusing, the same footage or the same scene as T1. So you think it's the same timeline, but it's not. There's a couple other times where they...
So for all intents and purposes, this goes exactly the way that when they get sent back from 2039, I hope I got those dates right. Is it 2029 in Terminator 1?
So,
because when Kyle Reese shows up, well, no, because he doesn't mention anything about John Connor getting attacked.
So one thing that this movie does well, T5, is it shows the other side of what is going on from Terminator 1. So in Terminator, all of a sudden, the Terminator appears and you only see what happens going forward. But in this movie, they show who sent the Terminator and how they sent Kyle. And it's really interesting because right off the bat, you've got time travel. So they launched an attack on the robots and it was a success. And because it was a success, Skynet sent their Terminator back to try to kill Sarah Connor to 1980, whatever. And we get to see that. We see the robot being activated and we see Arnold walking down the hallway and he steps into the machine and the machine turns on and you get to see what it looks like when he travels.
So this immediately steps on Salvation, which had Arnold rolling off the assembly line in 2018.
I don't know the dates. That's your job.
Well, this is what I was wondering if in Terminator and T5 if they sped up the timeline at all. And this, watching Genesis now, leads me to believe that T4 did speed up the timeline. And
so I'm thinking of this movie as just completely separate to everything. Otherwise, it makes my brain hurt in a bad way.
I can't, because I can set Salvation aside, whether as a separate timeline or just a bad movie that everyone tried to erase from their consciousness.
Okay.
But since they go right back to 1984, you know, they immediately, you know, screw things up, or they don't screw things up. But up until that point, when you realize that Pops was sent back to 1973 and now there's a T-1000 in 1984, it goes kind of as prescribed, I think.
Okay.
So I kind of cut you off. So do you set this aside as a separate timeline, or do you set this aside as a reboot, or?
So I think of this as a completely separate timeline. It has to be, because there was a Terminator sent back to when she was 9 or 10 or whatever it was. So the minute that they did that, it's a different timeline.
Okay.
At least they, so who sent the Terminator back to 1970, what is it?
Three.
And why, and when in their timeline did they send Pops back to 1973? It does not answer any of those questions.
And that, again, is a problem with this being a planned trilogy. They wanted to leave as many questions out there as they could to have some fun to go back and answer, or maybe even undo. So I guess let's just get to the big question right now. What kind of time travel does the Terminator universe propose? Single timeline? Multiple timelines?
Well, I mean, this, it's obviously multiple, because they talk about, you know, as he's getting in the machine, as Kyle Reese is getting in the machine and he sees somebody grab John Connor, it changes things and he's remembering two different timelines. So it's obviously multiple timelines. He's remembering a timeline of if the bombs didn't go off and he was raised in a normal family, and he's remembering his actual childhood of being born in this post-apocalyptic time. So that's two different timelines. So it's...
Are they mendable timelines?
What do you mean mendable?
So I had to watch a lot of videos, and I've been talking on all of these Terminator episodes about how this doesn't suffer from the butterfly effect. How even if you send someone back to change the past, it doesn't change your present.
So you mean they just make a new timeline and your timeline stays as it is?
Yeah, and that's what I finally had to watch videos to figure out. I think is what infected my brain, actually, is Avengers Endgame, because that one was so set on mending the timelines. And you could do that I kind of get it in my head that all these time travel movies, you can just go back to before you time traveled the first time and fix it. And this movie reminded me that that's not always the case. And I think every time you time travel, it breaks off into a new timeline and you can't fix it, or you can't remend it. Like once Pops goes back to 73 and that timeline splits, you'll never come back. That timeline will never be able to be reintroduced.
Yeah, I follow that same kind of rule for time travel, usually, unless a movie in that universe specifically says otherwise. Yeah. I've always thought of it as soon as you travel, you're creating a new timeline.
Yeah, and I always forget that, because Back to the Future did it too, where it was all about going back to before the timeline split.
Yeah.
And re-braiding them back together. And
this movie doesn't necessarily confirm or deny it, so I'm taking it as, yeah, completely different timeline. But the question is, so here they are in this timeline, and he goes back to a timeline, he goes back in a timeline where Pops was sent back to 1973
from who knows where
in that timeline. So he's going to a completely different timeline where Pops exists.
Oh, you're right.
So he's like entering another timeline, unless in the next movie they're going to answer the question of who sent Pops back to 1973 and when and why. I hope they do in the next movie. What's the next one called? Dark Fate.
Yeah, that's screws with the multiple timeline, because as soon as someone time traveled, that would split off into a different timeline, and then as soon as you time traveled, then you would split off into yet another timeline.
Yeah, so there's a lot of holes with this movie. Very holy. It's like Swiss cheese.
It is.
Okay, let's talk about some other holes. You wanna?
Yes, please.
I wrote, John's knowledge ends when Kyle travels back. question mark other times.
Say that again?
I don't know what I meant by my note.
Read it again. I'll figure it out.
John's knowledge ends when Kyle travels back. So John Connor has been telling Kyle Reese about his mother, about, you know, his everything his mother told him, but his knowledge of everything stops as soon as Kyle goes back. His mother never told him about anything.
Well, because all the information she got from Kyle. So Kyle doesn't have any information.
Right, which means John doesn't have any information.
Right.
And there must have been some thing where John knew what happens after he travels back, but he shouldn't. All his knowledge should stop as soon as Kyle goes back the first.
Yeah, all of his knowledge is from 1984 to 2029.
Yeah, and then as Kyle Reese is suspended in the time travel machine, you see all these flashes of other timelines, but they explain it later as to why he all of a sudden is having flashes of a timeline. They talk about it like some fork in the road, some junction that happened that was important.
Okay, because in Kyle Reese's first time through, Genesis doesn't exist.
Correct.
And then when Kyle Reese gets sent back to 1984, John Connor gets sent back to 2018 and jumpstarts Skynet with Genesis.
Genesis, specifically Genesis, yeah.
And so you're right. So now they're kind of mending. Now it's almost a butterfly effect. Well, because yeah, it is kind of like a butterfly effect. Like if now his memories are becoming that of the child. So this is definitely playing with the what's happened has happened will always happen. Like that's definitely not true anymore in the Terminator universe.
Okay.
If Kyle remembers a different childhood than the one he comes in contact with. Because the original Kyle Reese doesn't know what Genesis is, but the boy we meet in 2018
does.
So when does Kyle Reese... So the adult Kyle Reese we meet in this movie, when does he remember Judgment Day happening? Do you remember that?
The date?
Yeah.
Wasn't it 97?
Okay, so that's what happened. I got it here. So because Pops and Sarah killed Arnold, time-traveling Arnold, as soon as he arrives in 1984, so they destroy the CPU that was going to allow Judgment Day to happen on 1997. So because they destroy that T-800, Judgment Day gets pushed back to 2017. And that's...
With Genesis.
With Genesis. So basically, Judgment Day gets pushed off completely, but then Terminator Connor goes back to 2015, I think is what it actually is.
To start Genesis.
2014, John Connor as the T-3000 arrives from the future to jumpstart Genesis. So no, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think the first Kyle Reese, it probably was 1997. Well, no, because that's right, because he says the only world I've ever known is this.
Yeah,
so it would have been 1997. He wouldn't have been there for it. He would have been born shortly after.
So my question is, who sent back the liquid metal Terminator guy who in this movie is now Asian?
We don't know.
Okay, so that's a major thing. Kyle gets there and Pops fights the original Arnold and wins, and then all of a sudden the liquid metal Terminator is there as well, the type of Terminator from T2. So why is he there and who sent him? Nobody knows. I think they just put it in the movie because he's a really cool Terminator.
Well, and I think this is all because John Connor gets sent back to jumpstart Genesis. I think they're sending back a lot of things to speed things up. But from where, we don't know. And of course, I think this could have been a really cool trilogy to find that out and to start to unravel that and see if...
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll answer all these questions in the next one.
So I guess let's get to that. Should we watch the trailer?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about more holes for this? No? You want to watch the trailer?
No, go for it. Yeah, if you have more holes. Well, and I just thought...
I have so many holes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the laws are leading right. Yes, please.
So then, you know, adult Kyle is fighting the liquid metal, now Asian Terminator guy. And then Sarah Connor shows up and saves him. And, you know, she says, come with me. Does she say, come with me, you want to live? I don't know. So my next hole that I wrote down is, it's all different, right? This has all been very different than T1. And here's me getting really nitpicky. If Sarah and Kyle do not have sex at the exact time that they did when they made John Connor, John Connor will not be born. So there needs to be the exact egg and the exact sperm that meet to make John Connor. Otherwise, they're going to be making like a Jennifer Connor. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So that's my hole that I wrote as, you know, this point of the movie was playing. But then later on, it kind of answers that question, or it kind of fills in that hole for me, was because John then came back to this timeline, the evil Cybernet, Cyberdyne, whatever, John Connor came back and, you know, they eventually defeat him. Spoiler alert, we all know. They eventually win and now they have this choice to go live their life in a normal way and they don't need a John Connor for this timeline because they defeated it all and John Connor was evil. And anyway, so it filled in the hole for me.
And I feel like, I think you're right. I definitely feel like this movie was ripe for them to have a girl and a Jennifer Connor, like
yeah.
you said. Like
yeah.
you said.
So but then my next hole is, you know, they eventually get arrested, the Sarah Connor and the Kyle Reese get arrested and they're in the hospital and then John Connor visits them. And my thing was, he wasn't born yet. Or am I skipping ahead? So from like 2017 traveled to 80, what year is this?
2018.
84. Right now they're in 84.
Oh, now right now they're in 84.
And they go to the hospital and John Connor's there. In 84.
No.
No? That's later?
That's in 2018.
2018.
After
okay.
they time travel.
Did I write this backwards? Oh, I did write this backwards. I skipped one of my pages.
You got a whole page of
I
notes.
Missed a whole page.
A page of holes.
Yeah. And then I wrote a big, like, why doesn't she have the crazy Sarah, original Sarah Connor hair? That was epic.
Yeah. We're lucky she doesn't have a bob, a full-on war bob.
So yeah, major hole was who sent Pops back when she was 9? And who sent...
See, I don't consider that a hole. So it's an unanswered question.
Yeah, it's an unanswered question.
Yes.
It's a hole at this point because we don't know. But like, who sent Pops back and who sent the original Terminator to kill 9-year-old Sarah?
Yeah.
So there was a bad Terminator that got sent back and then there was a Pops that got sent back and who sent them and from where? And so that's a big question. Not hole, but like big unanswered question.
I thought she was a great Sarah.
Yeah, she was great. This actress was a great Sarah.
Yeah.
So in all the past movies, they all talk about you can only go into the past.
Yes.
This machine is only able to go into the past. Yet they have a machine that they built themselves that now can go from 1984 to 2017. So they can go into the future.
Didn't even occur to me what it occurred to me when it happened, but I didn't realize how much that unravels everything.
Yeah. So they always talk about this is a time machine. It's a one-way ticket to the past only. So how come they can build their own time machine that looks similar? They use the same schematics, I'm assuming, and they can go into the future. Hole.
Does it get destroyed in this movie, or is it still...
I don't think their homemade time machine gets destroyed.
So in theory, yeah, they could go to 2050 if they wanted to.
So in this timeline, obviously, we've established that it's different. They go into the future, and John hadn't been born yet. So they go to 2017, and, you know, in the original timelines, John had already been born by 2017. So John hadn't been born yet. So that's kind of like a gray area. We obviously know it's a different timeline now. So.
Well, and they're definitely jumping because that's what's different too. You can kind of talk about how every time you go back, it splits off into a new timeline. But when they go forward, they're definitely jumping within that current timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. They did not create a new timeline.
Yeah. That really, it didn't occur to me that, yeah, John would have been 22 at this point.
So explain to me
32.
The Dr. Dyson and his son who have now created Cyberdyne
yes.
in the future 2017. Is that correct?
Yes.
So which movie was it where they killed Dyson?
2, when he blows himself up.
Okay. So the Terminator 2, Dyson tries to destroy Skynet, the thing he created with the hand and the chip that was
he
left
gives
over.
The chip to them and then blows himself up.
Blows himself up in the big building that is Skynet to save everybody, right? But the son does survive. They show his son. So in this timeline, the son is alive and is starting Cyberdyne.
Yes, or Genesis. Or is he Cyberdyne or is he Genesis?
I think Genesis was created by John Connor Terminator and Dyson was Cyberdyne. So Genesis is the program, the AI program, and Cyberdyne is the company?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Cyberdyne is Genesis, Genesis is Cyberdyne.
Yeah, so my question is where is the original, where is Dyson? Jason. Why is it his son in this timeline?
He's just old.
Okay.
By this time he's 60.
He's retired. Okay.
Yeah, he's okay. Not on the job. I think he even says something about my dad this or my
does
dad
he?
That.
Does he? Okay, because my question is, did they hint at the dad being dead? Because then that would have been from another timeline of when he killed himself to blow up.
So let's talk about this time travel device. Is it a teleporter too?
So in this movie, you can travel in time and space. Doesn't seem like where they get dropped is determined, because they're obviously not ending up in the same building.
Yeah, and Pops knows where they're going. He's running late.
Got stuck in traffic.
But he gets, yeah. That's another thing too, with them getting to Pops in 1984 and Pops getting to them in 2018, this is all you need to do. This is, you got 20 years to plan. It's like, go early, bring a sandwich. Like, what are you doing coming at the last second? I don't know. That always bothers me, the time travel movies in general. You know, you've got a friggin' time machine, but you're still thwarted by seconds. Any more holes?
Well, there was one line that John Connor, the robot, said in the hospital. He said,
"You can't kill us. We're your parents. Without us, you're never born."
Two. You know what I think? We're marooned, the three of us. We're exiles in time. See, I can kill you, for there truly is no fate. You hear that, Kyle? That's the dice roll.
So I guess that kind of answers the question that they're stranded in time, as in another timeline.
Yeah, was that because of the Pops thing?
I don't know.
It's what John Connor said. Yeah, what was that? Dang it. Yeah, this is, the more we talk about it, the messier this is getting. And I guess it's not really this movie's fault. It's, you know, time travel in general, that you start jumping around, and whether you have multiple timelines or single timelines, it gets muddier and muddier. And
I also liked the line that John says to Pops. He says,
"You are nothing but a relic from a deleted timeline."
Oh, yeah.
Which was interesting. So obviously there's multiple timelines. We've established that. And the fact that he said a deleted timeline, you know, that timeline is definitely not deleted. It exists somewhere still, but it has nothing to do with this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about, you mentioned earlier, whether it's a loop or whatever has happened will have happened. What do you actually think that it is? Because in this movie, they, at the end, when they defeat everything, they go to the young Kyle Reese and they tell him to remember those specific words that older Kyle Reese heard as the timeline was splitting, you know, when he was suspended. So they've finished it, right? They've beat Genesis. Genesis did not get launched. They've saved the day again, but yet they feel like they still have to go to the young Kyle to tell him to remember that, because it is a loop.
You're right. They are treating it like a loop.
They're like, treating it like a loop. So
if I don't tell myself this, then I will never know it.
And then it'll happen again.
This, yeah.
So, because this is what I really don't understand. So they defeat everything. Then they go to the young Kyle's house and they tell him, "You got to say Genesis is Skynet," or whatever he says. And then they go off and they're like, go off into the sunset type of a thing. And so they think that now this timeline is going to happen again. That eventually, again, an old Kyle Reese is going to come back into the picture and have those same memories because of the loop? Or are they just covering their tracks? Are they being super cautious just in case? Let's make sure we tell young Kyle to do this.
No, he's definitely doing it because he feels like, if I don't tell myself this, then I will have never known it. But that doesn't matter because he doesn't need to know it anymore.
Yeah, because they defeated it and now the timeline is different.
Damn it, you're ruining this movie for me. Right. I really liked this movie and all the time travel, and I was like, yes, I love time travel, and this is doing a lot of it, and it even makes sense.
Okay, wait, but I'm gonna take it a step further. So then they do that, right? They say, okay, I've gotta tell young Kyle to say this thing, and then at the very end they say the future is not set.
Well, and that's just the through line to all these movies. Even though Terminator 3 destroys that by Judgment Day was always going to happen, so just hide in a bunker.
So if the future is not set, then they would or would not have to tell young Kyle to remind himself that. I don't know. I'm confused too.
And they might, and you know what? They might just be covering their bases, because hopefully by the end of this movie, they understand that time travel is a thing and it's not going anywhere. And maybe next time they won't be there to tell young Kyle Reese this, or it won't be up to them. This war never ends. You know, when you introduce time travel into this war, they're always going to get prior knowledge, and they're always going to try to speed up their process, and they're always going to try to go back.
Yeah, and as soon as they have a time travel, there's unlimited amount of timelines that they can keep trying different ways to kill John Connor or kill Sarah Connor or speed up Genesis. So yeah, it is an unlimited amount of storylines potentially.
Yeah, this really ends up producing an endless amount of redos.
Yeah,
because even if you destroy one timeline, because Judgment Day has been moving, it's a moving target, Cyberdyne's a moving target, Skynet's a moving target, and as long as there is, well, and that's where I think that's where this gets really muddy, because time travel movies usually try to make you feel like you're living in timeline alpha, so that your future is based on the actions of this movie. And this really screws that up. If you really get into the multiple timelines and all these redos, then you know you have to assume Skynet wins one of these timelines, and you have to assume that the humans win one of these timelines, and then there's a billion timelines where it's just a mess, and it's a war that's taking place in this 50-year period and will just never end, and they'll just always trying to one-up each other.
Yeah. So did you say you have not seen the trailer for the next Terminator?
I've seen some teaser trailers that I couldn't get away from, but I haven't seen a long trailer.
You want to watch it?
I want to watch
Red
Band trailer. So here we go, folks.
You hide my clothes, I'm wearing everything you own.
Oh my God! That is so not the opposite of taking somebody's underwear!
Look at me! I'm Chandler. Could I be wearing any more clothes? Maybe if I wasn't going commando.
So we just watched the trailer for Dark Fate. I haven't seen that one. I've seen there's a couple different versions of trailers. So Sarah Connor is there and she's older, and Pops ? Is there, and now his name is Carl.
Yeah.
Or there is a Arnold Terminator there and his name is Carl, whether or not that's Pops or not, we don't know yet.
So these are questions that we could answer, I'm sure, if we looked them up, but I'm going to leave it a little bit vague for us just to have some fun with this conversation.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll get spoiled by the time I walk into the theater, but I just want to have some, how could this, let's pretend like all six of these movies exist in the same universe.
Ooh, okay.
Is that even a reality you can...
I can't exist that they're all in the same timeline or even the same universe. I can pretend that the one we just reviewed, so T5, is a prequel to this. So my prediction would be that this is a sequel to T5. So in this same timeline of Sarah and Kyle did not have John Connor, and Pops is still around, and, you know, maybe Kyle gets killed, but Sarah stays old. And the Terminators, since there was the mid-credit scene that Skynet was still around, maybe they send someone back to kill someone else who is, you know, vital in helping the humans win in the future. And it was that dark-haired woman. And there's a new Terminator woman, blonde.
Yeah, again, just trying to wrap my head around all this. I forget Sarah Connor dies of cancer in 1997 in one timeline. So do you think they throw out movies and just make this, well, no, if you're saying that Salvation,
and in another movie John Connor is killed by an Arnold Terminator that they then captured, reprogrammed, and sent back. That was for 3.
Yeah, and that's in 2030.
That he was killed, and then they captured the Terminator that killed him, which was an Arnold Terminator, and then sent back. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I would think of this Dark Fate, my prediction is that it's a sequel to T5, and it's in that same timeline where Kyle and Sarah never had John.
Okay, yeah.
But she said that she hunts Terminators. Like, that's what she does. It'll be interesting to see. Can't wait. When does it come out?
Special screenings on October 31st, wide release on November 1st.
November 1st, cool.
So we'll probably get to it a week or two into November. I know I'm not going to wait in line. Maybe we can make a day out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go on an afternoon, maybe wait a week or so, and we can find a quiet 10 o'clock viewing so we can
10 a.m. viewing.
Hell yeah. Ari's like, no.
I'm down.
But that might be kind of fun to watch it, and then I'll bring my equipment. We'll record in the car. I don't care. So yeah, again, thanks for ruining these movies.
You're welcome.
And yeah, this just really, I didn't realize how upsetting it is when these movies just split off into a bunch of timelines and you're just leaving timelines in your wake. There's plenty of timelines where the Terminators win everything. There's plenty of timelines where, you know, I mean, that means there's timelines where no one invented Skynet just because they decided to make a new iPhone instead.
Yeah.
And none of this matters. And it'll be interesting to see how James Cameron can make this all matter.
Yeah, James Cameron produced this, right?
Did he? Oh, that's right. It's directed by Tim Miller.
But produced by James Cameron.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, I guess I could wax all I want and make a bunch of guesses. But yeah, I just hope they make me care, because I like all of these movies in their own right. Rank these movies. Rank 1 through 5, Ari.
What do you mean rank them?
What's your favorite Terminator to least favorite Terminator?
My favorite is T2. Followed by T1, then I guess T3. I did not like T4, and then T5. No, okay. I'm stuck between this one, T5, and T3. Sure. This one had so many holes. There was more to it. There was more traveling.
Did you enjoy watching it more than T3, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you could say that T5 is better. So it would go 2, 1, 5, 3, 4, and then we'll see what happens with 6.
I might, after this rewatch, like, it's hard for me to dock T2 at all, but I like T1 so much at this rewatch. Like, I think I'm going to nudge it above T2 just because without it, we have none of this.
T1?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 1, 2, 5, 4, 3.
1, 2, 5, 4, 3. Yeah, okay.
T3 really bummed me out because, well, no. Because it bummed me out because at the end of T3, you can't change any of this. Nothing matters. But yeah, as we're having this conversation, it doesn't matter. And there is a timeline where you just have to buckle down and gird your loins for the impending war that's coming.
Yeah.
I'm back on board. I like these movies.
Yeah. I mean, time travel. We like all of them.
Yeah. Holy mackerel. Thank you, Ari. Thank you, everyone out there. I hope some of this made sense. This got really messy really fast, but that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And as always, help us out, people. Tell us what we need to know. Help us make sense of all this. Tell us either your predictions if you haven't seen Dark Fate yet, or once you see Dark Fate, please send us your thoughts. We would love to add them to our Dark Fate conversation and get a larger discussion going on. First of all, thank you for listening to Time Pop. Hopefully you have enjoyed this program. Please like and subscribe to Time Pop and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. What are we doing next week, Ari? Do you still want to do Groundhog's Day?
Sure.
You want to do Groundhog's Day?
Sure.
All right. Next week, we will be discussing Groundhog's Day. And again, we're going to be getting into more of our high-profile movies. We've been kind of working out the kinks with some of these lesser-known movies. We didn't want to burn some high-profile movies in my poor editing. But I think we're in a good space, and we really want to watch some great movies and movies that you guys want to see. So if there's anything you want to hear us talk about, please hit us up. If you would like to add to the podcast conversation, please email us at timepop9216@gmail.com. That's timepop9216@gmail, and tell us your thoughts about this or any other version of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc. that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you would like to start your own discussion on the topic, please head over to Face Insta Twitter Book. We are at teapot9216. That is at teapot9216. And please check out soundsawesome9216.com to hear what else sounds awesome. I am currently working on a couple of other shows. One other movie-based podcast is in the works. If you've listened to any episodes with Sir Scott Lifton, he will be co-starring in those episodes, and they are sure to be a lot of fun. And now, back to the big finish.
How old is Arnold Schwarzenegger now?
That's a good question.
Is he like 80 and still doing these movies?
He's definitely 70-something. We should have an answer.
That's our big finish. How old is the Terminator?
53 plus 19, 71. Is that how math works? He was born in 47. This doesn't do the math for me.
47. Okay. Yeah. He's looking good.
He is. Yeah. My bet is there. Oh my gosh. Random fun fact. There is a scene in T2. So we talked about Linda Hamilton's twin being in that movie. There was another set of twins too. The cops that you see earlier, the redhead cops, those were actual twins too that they used. But they used Linda Hamilton's twin in another really cool shot in Terminator 2 that should have stood out to two people like us who know how understand how movies are made. The camera pans in front of a mirror. When they're all standing in front of a mirror, the camera pans, and is what they do is they have Edward Furlong, I think his back is to the camera. So you see a stunt double playing the back of his head. And then Edward Furlong is standing, quote unquote, in the mirror. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger's, they use the same dummy from T1. And that's the back of his head. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the mirror. And then Linda Hamilton is on one side. You can see her profile in the mirror. And so one of her is standing in front of the camera and one of her is standing, quote unquote, in the mirror. And that's brilliant. That's, and we should have noticed, like, they just pan the camera right in front of the mirror. Like, how did they do that?
Helps to have a twin.
It really does. So yeah, that was very cool. What was I? Anyways, thank you again for listening to this. Thank you for sticking with us through this whole Terminator experience. And where I'm really excited for Dark Fate to see where this is all going. And I'm glad that we timed this with this theater experience. Until next week, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Arielle Galah. Bye. Wait, what?